Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Fearless Fiction. I'm your host, Bernadette Walsh. And before I introduce my guest, I just want to make a few announcements. My novel, Gold Coast Wives, is about a lawyer with a serious donut addiction who joins a reality TV show after her husband absconds with all their money to Australia. For only a short time period, Gold Coast Wives will be available for only 99 cents. Gold Coast Wives is a fun, light, contemporary romance. So please check that out. Also, please join my newsletter. That way you'll get all the updates for all my books and the Fearless Fiction podcast. Also, if you join my newsletter, you will get a free copy of my latest novel, A Safe Distance. All the information about how to join my newsletter is on my website, BernadetteWalsh.com. So I am so excited to introduce my guest, Hannah Brown. Hannah is known for starring as The Bachelorette, winning Dancing with the Stars and Special Forces Season 1, and reaching the New York Times bestseller list with her memoir. Hannah is now ready to conquer romance writing with her novel, Mistakes We Never Made. So welcome, Hannah, to Fearless Fiction. I'm so excited to have you here with me today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, no, I'm very excited. So before, you can just give us a little bit of an overview about why you decided to conquer the romance writing world. Why romance? Yeah. Why fiction?
I've always loved fiction. I really felt like it was like my escape a lot when I was younger, especially I just would gobble up books. So writing and reading has always been something that was a passion of mine, especially when I was younger. And I had always had a dream to write a novel one day. A lot of the things in my life that I've been able to accomplish, I didn't even know I could dream up. So this is truly one of the first like dream come trues for me to have, to be able to take on this journey of writing a romance novel, but it's been really fun. And, you know, another part of that is a lot of people know me from my time on The Bachelor and Bachelorette, so have a lot of people supporting me, and I'm really invested in my own personal romance, so it was nice to be able to give other people, you know, another beautiful love story with Emma and Finn.
Yeah, I have to imagine it's a little bit of a surprise for people, because a lot of your success and what you're known for is very outward facing and also very physical, especially if you look at the Special Forces or Dancing with the Stars. And writing is such an inward thing. So were people surprised that you wanted to write?
I think people are definitely surprised, but not the people that know me the most. I can be really, I feel like there's a lot of depth inside of me that maybe people haven't been able to see through some of the things that I've done. I think that's also ways people have been able to connect with me. I feel like I do like wear my heart on my sleeve and can be super vulnerable. And so this was just another way for people to really get to see more sides of me than, you know, previous opportunities and ventures that I've taken more publicly. This is a different side of me, but definitely a true side of me.
Well, it's really interesting that you say that, because obviously you've shown a lot of yourself in your public persona and all your, you know, reality TV show, you know, endeavors. Do you feel, but I feel like writing is so personal. Like if people ask me, I say, if you want to know me, read my books. I expose more of myself in my writing than in my normal life. Because of course, we're wearing our facades, right? So you're wearing different hats, you know, on my work hat, on my mother hat, you know, all of that. But do you feel that you've exposed even more of yourself in your writing?
Definitely. I think it's different parts of me. And a lot of people ask about this book, the main character, Emma, if she is me. And she isn't me fully, but she has a lot of the same thoughts and feelings that I've had at different times in my life. And I was really able to funnel that those into her character. Yeah, I think anything that's going to connect with people has to come from an authentic place and a true place. So and writing a book and even reading a book is such an intimate thing. So it has to come from truth, I think, to really be able to hit for someone. And so, yeah, there is definitely a different parts of me throughout the book that expose different feelings I may have had, or why, like Emma, in my past, did I feel like I had to have everything together? And just like for the Emma in this book, it's because of past hurts and ideas that our little brains tell us when we're young, when we're in our childhood, why things happen the way that they do, and it has something to do with us, and how can we protect ourselves in some way, and we wear these masks and hats and things to try to help us. But I think there comes a time in my life, and I think in this book, Mistakes You Never Made, we'll see there's a time in Emma's life where she has to make a choice to change and be different and heal those parts of her.
Well, I think, at least for my own writing, I think there's a little bit of Bernadette in all of my characters, but they also are their own selves. Like I may start off thinking, oh, this character is a lot like, you know, somebody I went to college with, for example. But eventually, as you work through it, they become their own entity. So while there are parts of you in the characters, they become their own entity. So it's not you. And what I find very annoying, especially when people I know are reading my books, they'll come back and be like, oh, I never knew you felt this way. Or I had one of my books, Friends Forever. It's about two college roommates. And it's based on where I went to college. But I had friends come back to me, and one of them is kind of a bad girl. She was much more exciting than I was in college. And she came back, she's like, oh, I never knew that you were like that in college. I was like, I wasn't. It was my character because it's called fiction. But it's hard it's hard to explain that to people. So it's very funny.
No, I totally understand, because it really is. It's like, I always try to say, yes, it's parts of me, but everything that happens in Emma's life, like, is not what happened in my life, or even an experience that I had with a certain person that is thin. Like, that is totally made up. But it has to start, just like you said, it has to start from something you already know. It's really hard to make up a whole story out of thin air. There has to be some type of personal experience to even give you the confidence or the knowledge to start writing, I feel like.
Yeah, and even if it's not what you've experienced in your life, it's your viewpoint, one way or the other. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, I think every author puts a lot of themselves into their books. And I think especially their first book, like my first book, Gold Coast Wives, that I mentioned, that character was most like me at the time. And then as I've gone on, like, I'm tired of writing about lawyers, so I don't have as many lawyer characters. But, you know, the first one was, you know, you write what you know in some sense. And so, you know, so maybe you could tell us a little bit about the plot of this book and again, how you think you're kind of like the main character.
Yeah, so this book follows Emma, who is kind of like type A, feels the need to have it all together. Just that typical type A girl. And she is in California for her best friend's wedding, Sybil, who also is friends with a man in her past that is kind of always been the almost maybe in her life. But different, what she would say, mistakes in their life have made it to where they're not on the best terms, but they're there to be there for their best friend's wedding. But then unfortunately she is not there because she is a runaway bride, and Emma, of course, being who she is, feels it's her need to fix it and to save her best friend from making a horrible mistake. And she has to enlist the help of Finn, who literally has the keys to her saving the day. And so they go on a road trip together, trying to see if they can get Sybil before the wedding day. And in that, you know, they are in close proximity to kind of go over why has it never worked, and kind of have to communicate and get to uncover, you know, why is Emma even in, feel the need to do this in the first place? What is that healing journey for her, and what is the healing journey for both Emma and Finn? So it has a lot of those classic tropes in there. It's a road trip. Enemies to lovers, I don't think always works if they really do hate each other. I think there has to be some, to believe it, they have to have some type of friction that comes from a place of actually really caring about each other, and that's what these two characters do. But it's a second chance romance, and it's a lot of fun. It's a very quick, fast-paced book.
Now, what's the heat level of this book?
Yeah, so It is steamy for sure. We definitely have a few moments in there that will, you know, bring a light blush to your face. because I think it's important to, like, a romantic relationship to show all parts of that. And so we see the level of intimacy that Emma and Finn have, and it's in there. So there's definitely a lot more steamy books than this one, but it definitely has that for people to enjoy.
So it's not quite Close the Door, but it's not, you know, 50 Shades of Grey. So it's somewhere in between, it sounds like.
Absolutely, yes.
Well, that's actually, I think that's really the sweet spot of romance. That's where, at least in terms of what I like to read. I don't want them completely closing the door because it is supposed to be a romance, so you want a little bit of a thrill. But erotica is not necessarily my cup of tea either. So it sounds like a really great romance. Now, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the main character, the male main character, and was he based on anyone in your life, or was he, you know, a composite of people in your life?
I would say more a composite of people in my life, but also he's totally, like we said, he's definitely became his own. He's a typical male who sometimes just doesn't fully communicate or give the full picture, and then the woman, Emma, is left to filling in the blanks with usually, you know, completely opposite from the truth, but just that didn't know how to fully communicate what was actually going on when he, you know, was going through hard times in his life. So he's still a very lovable character, and he's there for his best friend, Sybil, but also through Emma, she's kind of going on her own journey. And, he's a kind guy that has just not always gotten it right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what is he looks wise?
What does he look like? Oh my gosh, why can I not think of his name? I kind of picture him to look like, as in Jesse. I cannot think of his last name, but he was in Grey's Anatomy. He kind of has like light brown skin with like pretty eyes, but he's also a tech guy. He doesn't look like anybody I've dated, but definitely a man that I would find very attractive.
Well, that's good. And now, this is your first
Jesse Williams. That's it.
Jesse Williams. Okay. I don't know who that is. I'll have to look that up. But, and also sometimes it's great for the reader to, like, you know, you don't want to tell them too much about what they look at, like, just want to give kind of an outline and let them kind of use their own imagination. So,
totally.
But I will look that up. So one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was, this is your first romance novel. You are planning on doing a sequel. As you know, in the romance land, romance readers, once they find an author that they like, they want to read as much as they can. And so that's why you have so many romance writers. Once they hit, they become very prolific. Now, in the reality context, there have been some reality stars who have tried to write romance novels, like Bethany Frankel, I'm thinking of. I know she did that years ago, and Snooki, I think, did that years ago. It was kind of just like a one and done, just to kind of see, like, we never heard from them again in terms of romance. So has anyone asked you, is this going to just be a flash in the pan, or are you really committed to romance writing and plan to make it part of your career long term?
I plan to make it a part of my career. I also have a book too that is I'm already working on right now. So I really hope that people feel really connected to the, of course, MN Finn, but also the other characters in the book. Book two is going to kind of, I think, once people read, there's going to be some questions about one character in particular that they're going to want to know more about. And so there will be a continuation, even though Emma and Finn, there definitely is a nice bow end. I don't want people to think they're going to be frustrated, but I hope people are really invested in really the core four, the female friendship in the book, and want to know more about these women's own individual journeys to love and life, and would love to just continue to keep exploring and expanding on that. That's when I decided to do this, I had more in mind. So I hope people love this and want more from me because I have it.
That's great. So this is going to be the first of a 2-book series, and maybe even more in that series. You never know. Sometimes those characters.
You never know. I would love that.
Yeah. No, and it's funny. Sometimes you really don't know until you finish the second book. I know I don't typically write in series, but I have had a couple of books where one character winds up showing up in another character's books. So, you know, they may be the main character in one and a minor character in another. But I also did a 4-book series that I never intended to be a 4-book series. It was actually a paranormal romance. And it was the same. I wrote one book and then I was like, oh, I don't think I'm done. So I wrote another, and again, it was like different characters that were all kind of linked. So I think that's kind of cool. And I think, again, especially in the romance reader world, they really like series. They, you know, if they like you and they like their characters, they sometimes get frustrated when it's a one and done. So it sounds like you are very much on your way. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about your writing process, maybe some of the mechanics. Do you write from the first person, the third person?
I'm so sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
I'm sorry. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about the writing process. So do you typically write from the first person, the second person, the third person?
It's normally third person, a little first person. I had a lot of help with all that because I got a little overwhelmed at first, and so I ended up having a co-author, Emily Larrabee, that really helped making sure that we had a clean, concise book that really took everything that I was wanting, all the different elements that I wanted, the storyline that I wanted, and made it, like, really be organized in a way that people can enjoy the reading process. That was probably the hardest thing that I struggled with. It's just organization in general in my life, but being able to, like, really do that part was actually the thing that I had to learn the most about, and it takes a lot of like I would switch throughout the way that I was writing, and just to be able to have somebody help me clean that up was really nice. And also I just didn't understand how much, planning and organizing happens before. I don't even think I answered your question. I'm so sorry. My brain went all over the place.
No, that's
right. It's been a while, so like, I just sometimes I'm like, I think my brain short circuits a little bit.
That's okay. I mean, look, writing your first book and writing fiction, that was actually going to be my next question. You already had experience writing a memoir, which was nonfiction. How did you feel that your writing process differed for writing fiction versus nonfiction?
Oh, it's just, it's very different in a lot of ways because, of course, you know, I know what happened in my life. There's not like any twists and turns and things that don't work for the narrative. You know, I didn't have to make plot points and things. I just got to write fully from experience. I think the hardest part with all that was just like being so vulnerable and transparent about sometimes the first time where with fiction, just even like knowing how to start such a beast of something was really tough for me. I think you'd have an idea and somewhat know how to write, but being able to put together a full book, you know, art was hard. And so it took a lot of like real creative muscles that I hadn't really used in a long time. I did, you know, some creative writing in college, but it had been a bit. So really being able to get back into that mindset, being able to just a lot of calls with my team going back and forth about where we wanted this story to go. Sometimes like what just wasn't working. I think sometimes people don't know that. Like sometimes you can have an idea, an initial idea of what's going to happen in the story, and you start writing and it doesn't work the way you think it's going to be. So you have to go back and start fresh and really let these characters take on, you know, a life of their own. So it was just a lot of the planning, the editing, the creating that is just very challenging, but also really fun in a way that's totally different than writing about yourself and your life.
Right. Well, it's funny how you say, you know, you have an idea about where this book is going to go. And some people are pantsers, so they just start writing and they're not sure where it's going to go. And then you have plotters who know from page one what's going to happen on the last page. And then you have people like me who are pantsers /plotters. Like I know basically where my character's going to go, or at least I hope where they're going to go. But day by day, how exactly I'm going to get there, I don't know until I get in front of the keyboard. But it's funny how you say characters become their own person, right? They go where they want, where you want to go. And it's not always where you wanted initially for them to go, but you kind of have to follow, you know?
Mm-hmm. Totally. I would say similarly that was kind of the process for me and with my writer that kind of helped me on this. She's Emily Larrabee. She's been doing this for a long time, just a true professional. And so we're also working together, and that also made it a different experience. But I'm so thankful for her. I mean, I don't know if this book probably would have come out 10 years from now if I was doing it on my own. I feel like, but to be able to be like pushed and encouraged and be able to like having the organization at the top front. I think I would, if I was doing this fully on my own, it would have been kind of one of those things I just started writing and we'd see where it went. But to have a little bit of that setting the plot at the beginning and then just letting it give it some breathing room, I think that is important because if you say so, I mean, for everybody it works different, but if you say just so attached to something, then you might be losing, like, the magic of the story that really needs to be told. So just going with that and being able to, like, let go and really let these characters become, like, their own being and human, and you have to be, like, really involved in the text for that, so.
Yeah, no, and sometimes you need to write parts of the book that don't wind up in the final book. Do you know what I mean? Like, you almost need to know, okay, this is the character's background, but you want to sprinkle that in the actual document, in the actual novel, right? You don't want to, but it's important for you as the writer to know all this stuff. And I think when you're a new writer, it's really hard to let go of writing that you think is really great and tells a lot about your character, but it doesn't ultimately work with the book. Like, for example, Gold Coast Wives was my first book. And I had probably about a whole chapter about my character, how she, you know, was a summer associate at a law firm, and she had friends, and they went out for drinks, and it was really, really great. And my editor was like, is this a book, like, what is this book about? And I was like, oh, it's about a woman who goes on a reality TV show and finds love after her husband leaves her. She's like, great. Is it about her summer associate experience? I was like, no. She's like, and why is it in the book? I was like, yeah, why is it in the book? So that chapter, and again, it takes so much time, and it was beautiful writing. I really enjoyed it. It wound up in the final book, probably maybe half a paragraph.
Yes. Yeah, that happened. That's happened a lot. There's been a lot of paragraphs or, you know, multiple pages just X'd out. And that was also the same with, that is one thing that was same with my memoir. You know, there are things that are really important and pivotal in my own life, but then there are things that are still pivotal and important in Emma's life and to know about her. But do they really, do they enhance the story that the reader is engaged in at the time? Maybe not. And sometimes that can be really hard
sometimes it's hard for you to see, right? So it sounds like, you know, for me, I did have my initial editor with my first publisher, but before I even got to that stage, I had my writing group. And I don't know if you belong to any writing groups or how involved in the romance writing community you've become or plan on becoming, but it was really important to have other feedback from other writers. Unlike my mom or my sister, who would read things and be like, oh, I like that, or I don't like that. And I'd be like, well, why? What doesn't work for you? And they couldn't tell me why, but another writer can. They could say, again, that's all backstory, you don't need it, or it's taking you in the wrong direction. So it is really important to have, because sometimes you're too close to your own work, so you can't always see, you know, what's not happening. And you never want, even though it's beautiful writing, if it doesn't move the story along, it just has to go. So.
Totally.
Well, it sounds like that is a lesson you've learned, and it sounds like you have a really great relationship with your writing partner. Just maybe you can tell us a couple of things about, I know you have other activities or that you're working on other than writing. Is there anything you want to share about where people can, you know, what your upcoming projects are?
I have a Better Tomorrow that I also do weekly did you ask me about my other projects? Not Mistakes You Never Made, correct?
Yeah, anything or else about that you're working on? I know you have this book that's coming out. You're working on your second book that we talked about.
Yes.
But are there other, you know, I don't think you're just a full-time writer.
No.
So you have other things that you're working on. So is there anything you kind of want to share?
Yes. So I have a podcast comes out every Wednesday. You can get it wherever you listen to podcasts, called Better Tomorrow. And then of course my social media is something that I try to really connect with my, people who support me on. And that can sometimes be its own full-time job as well, but Right now I'm in the thick of book two, and that's taking up a good amount of time, as well as just trying to get the word out about this very upcoming project, Mistakes We Never Made, that comes out in a few weeks.
That's great.
Having
you have
great
any,
conversations
any...
like this.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I'm sure this is like a full-time job. Do you have any more plans to, you know, dip your toe back into the reality TV world? I have to say, I loved Special Forces. I only watched Special Forces because you were season one. I only watched that after I'd already seen season two, and then I went back and watched season one, and I was like, wow, I wish that Hannah had been on season two because she could have really kicked Tom Sandoval's ass. So that's the only thing. I would have loved to have seen that, but you did a great job with, like I said, I love Special Forces, and it's not the kind of show I normally watch, but I thought it was great that a girl won. So that was terrific. But anything else in the reality world that people, you know, that you have planned coming up, or is it just something you're going to see if it happens?
Yeah, it's more, you know, other opportunities have come up, and I think everything right now just has to be in alignment of, you know, where I want to go and who I am, and if it's going to push me, encourage me in some way, or be able to connect with other people in a way that's really positive and impactful. I think Special Forces is, you know, like, I wouldn't say I'm like have a background as an athlete or anything, but I loved in the military, but I loved how it pushed me in such a way that no other experience could, and I learned a lot about myself. So I'm not saying no to any other reality TV experiences. It just has to really make sense for the person I am now and how I want to show up in the world. So, and, you know, if it's something that's just like a fun one-in-a-lifetime experience, I'm down for. But not right now. I'm in my author era, I would say. And I'm excited to be here and loving it.
Yes. Well, it sounds like you're off to an amazing start, because your book hasn't been released yet, but I saw that you have quite a few reviews, and most of them were very, very positive. So they would be the envy of any first-time writer. So it sounds like you really are off to a great start. Now, maybe you can tell people where they can find you online, and if there are any other promotional, you know, activities associated with the book that you want to highlight.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram or Facebook, Hannah Brown, TikTok. And a lot of my information, though, is on my Instagram page. For how to be able to pre-order the book. You can get the book wherever books are sold. And I'm also doing a book tour, which I have all those dates and information on that on my social media as well, and how you can get tickets to come see me in person, come to some in conversations with other authors just asking me about my process. And, yeah, it's going to be really, really fun. But it comes out May 7th, and you'll be able to get it in stores then, but you can pre-order it now and hopefully come out and see me.
Well, that's great. If you could like the Fearless Fiction Facebook page, because I like to include, you know, updates on all my guests. So if you want to include, like, where you're going to be located, you know, I'd be happy to list that so people can find out there, as well as seeing, you know, following you on your Instagram. But so please do that. And Hannah, all I can say is that I'm a huge fan. I'm very, very excited to read your new book. I think it's really very brave for you to do something totally different, right? Maybe a little unexpected from people, and it sounds like you're going to be a huge success. So I'm very, very pleased. So best of luck with that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, great. So just a few reminders before we head off. Again, Gold Coast Wives, in honor of my guest today, about a woman who joins a reality TV show, will be on sale, but only until June. So it's only 99 cents, so please pick that up. Again, Gold Coast Wives is a fun, light, contemporary romance. And also, please sign up for my newsletter, because then you can get all the updates on my books and the Fearless Fiction podcast. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you will get a free copy of my latest novel, A Safe Distance. So all the information is on my website, BernadetteWalsh.com. So thanks again for joining Fearless Fiction. This is Bernadette Walsh, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.